and welcome to Marooned at Macbyte's headquarters. Day 337. Closer every day to the magic year mark. Oh, Mike was in first. How did he manage that? I know he was opening up the chat early. That was because the little madam decided that she wanted to be in the garden. Oh, you should hear her barking away. And Mike running round after her. So, I would say hello to Mike. He's first, but he's out in the garden, so he wouldn't hear me. So there's no point. So, hello, Alex. Congratulations. Second. Hello, Paul. Third. Jonathan, what happened? Has it been a bad start to the week? Fourth. Exactly. What's happening? Not impressed with that, Jonathan. Come on. Explanations. Explanations. Oh, hello, Anthony. Hello, Kim. How are we all doing? I've got something for Kim. Obviously, well, it's relevant, but it's the UK. But I think you've said something similar in the States. So the rules over here have changed. Previously, the rules were that these asthmatics were going to get preference, but now not. So I thought you might be interested in that. Lots of millions. How many did it say? It just says millions, I think. But there's 7-point-something million. Oh, here we go. February to April. 7.3 million with underlying health conditions who were in with the 65 to 69s and the rest of us. And there's me languishing at the bottom. 2.8 million in my group. But I'm still not hopeful. It'll happen when it happens. Hello, Tracy. Oh, Anthony had his jab on Saturday. So far, no problems other than a slight headache and feeling a bit tired. Good. That's excellent. Well, not it's not excellent that you're feeling tired and you've got a headache, but it's better than the alternative. It's better than some reports we've read. I had two friends from the Catanians who had the headache thing and a sore arm, and they went to bed. But they were fine the next day. And then, of course, there was baby Tracy, who was much poorlier. But then I don't know many people who had the Moderna vaccine. And it's the least popular in the UK. I was reading some stats today. Oxford AstraZeneca, we have 100 million. Valneva, 60 million. Novavax, 60 million. GlaxoSmithKline, didn't even know they had one, 60 million. Pfizer, 40 million. Janssen, 30 million. And Moderna, 17 million. That's way more than we have population. I'm wondering what they're doing with them. But Boris says it's all going fine, but we mustn't take our foot off the gas. So that's what Boris said. So therefore, take that as you will. Oh, where's Simon when you need him? He always has something descriptive to say about Boris that's usually hysterical. So I'm glad to hear that, Anthony. Right. Ooh, Jonathan, we'll put out a Macbyte bong at 10 past 10 to support you. Moderna is the most available where Tracy is. That does surprise me. Maybe you've got all the supply that we don't. Or maybe they just didn't want to go with that one. I mean, obviously, they're going to support the AstraZeneca one. I just think with the AstraZeneca one, it's all a bit weird. They're bringing out another one in the autumn. So do we all have to have it again then? Is this going to be a forever and ever amen thing? Because I'm actually, you know, it's coming up to a year and I'm reflecting and I'm thinking, and how difficult have you found not leaving the house in a year? Not difficult at all. Could you do it for another year? Absolutely. Have you missed anything? Not really. Now, I will say, I have to caveat that, there's not been much going on, has there? When everybody else is outside, would I miss being outside? I don't know. You have to times the vaccines by two. You do, but I could have sworn the Moderna was one. I thought one of them was, but they're not, are they? So the majority of them are actually two. Having said that, you know, they all came out, didn't they? And had plenty to say. That 3 months was absolutely fine. Boris is still touting that today. Then there was the doctors who came out and said, just a minute, it was tested for 3 weeks. And about 3 days ago, the people from Pfizer came out and said it should be no more than 6 weeks. hence Boris keeping his head down, basically. So the AstraZeneca's two, isn't it? Pfizer's two. If Moderna's two, then I have no idea which one was the one that was one. If you're with me. If you can follow all of that. Oh, hello, Sarah. How are you doing? Anthony had the Oxford one. His father had Pfizer. Mother had the Oxford one. So you can all compare now, see how you feel. As long as you get the same one next time, it'll be fine. Ah, oh, Jonathan. The AstraZeneca one. Excellent. Excellent. AstraZeneca wasn't approved until much later. Wasn't it Spain that didn't want to give it to people? Was it over 65? Something to do with the data? But, I mean, it's still in trials, to be honest. Because they're trialling it on children now. Mike read this thing, Gowan, and said, you know, AstraZeneca, that there's this trial with children. And I let him finish and I turned around and looked at him and I said, I didn't think you could test things on animals these days, much less children. But apparently that's fine. And I'm thinking, who are these children? I mean, by definition, they're children. Do they not get a say? I remember when I was a kid, I can't have been much more than 7 or 8 tops, 7 or 8 tops. And I'd gone there for something, and it involved having an injection of some description. Now, it could have been a contrast agent for an X-ray or something like that. If it's the one I think it was, I wasn't allowed to eat from like midnight. And then you rocked up, and then they gave you contrast agent, and you know, then they took the X-ray. So then we had to go back. So the appointment in question wasn't that one, because that one did not end well. That was the one they were holding me down on the table. So when we went back, it was to get the results of the X-ray. And it was comical because they'd done two. They'd done an initial X-ray, like a standard thing, and found something. So they then needed this second one to see a higher contrast, get a better look. So it was the appointment where we went back after the second X-ray, the one that did not go well, as far as I was concerned, to get the results of this high contrast thing. So the first thing that was hysterical was they couldn't find anything. So the second one that was by far the better system, they couldn't find a thing. There was nothing there. And I'm just sitting there looking at them like, you are Muppets. You are total Muppets. The first one, they then dig the first X-ray out and they're looking at them. And on the first one, fair enough, clear as day, there's a circle that could have been like a tumour or something. I don't know. And they're looking at the second one. It's not there. They came to the conclusion in the end, because that just can't happen, can it? They came to the conclusion in the end, which I thought was hysterical, that somebody had left something on the X-ray table when they had the first one. So it was like a penny piece or something. Oh, medics, eh? Oh, anyway, I then came outside and they said to me there was a little boy. He was younger than me, so he couldn't have been above 5. Petrified of needles. So I think it was a doctor and 2 nurses said, can you tell him there's nothing to be frightened of? And I looked at him and literally I was like, who was that figure in history who said, I cannot tell a lie? Benjamin Franklin. And I looked at him and I thought, I'm not lying to this kid. Are you asking me to lie to this kid? So I just looked at these doctors and I thought, God, what do you say? Because talk about pressure. So I whispered to my mum, I can't tell a lie. So if they make me tell him what it was like, I'll tell him the truth. So my mum turned around and said, I don't think it's a wise idea to do that to these doctors. This was the time there was half a dozen of them holding me down to the table. Because you can never get anything in my arms, ever. As was proved with the 37 times with that young doctor. But they wanted me to lie to this lad. Yeah, that's not happening. Oh, Kim. The rioters piled up snow so the police couldn't get onto the call. What's that? Onto the calls yesterday? What is wrong with these people? There are no words. There are no words. Do you get a choice of which one you had? I wouldn't have thought you would get a choice. because it's what's delivered, and the Pfizer one is a bit tricky in terms of it needs to be at minus 70 for a certain amount of time. So now the AstraZeneca one's out, most people seem to be getting the AZ one. So I wouldn't expect so. Of the people who had a bad reaction to it, one was Pfizer and one was AZ that I heard of. But when I say a bad reaction, it was like a pain in the arm and a headache. And then it had gone the next day. So that's all I've actually got personal experience of. The people I would trust to tell me the truth. Not Karen on Facebook. Jonathan's friend, Karen on Facebook. No, these are people that I know and trust. And that's all they've said about it. So no one's actually said it was horrific and they were ill for weeks. Most people who have had it have said absolutely nothing. You know, when they said, like, how are you? Absolutely nothing. You know, I've had flu jabs and they were worse. So they've had the jab, no pain in the arm, no headaches, no nausea, nothing. So the majority seem to say they are absolutely fine. Although there are still things going around about, you know, if you've got allergies to this, that and the other, then maybe you need to think about something. And I haven't seen the information sheet from the package that comes with each one. And if you had, I don't know if one is better if you've got certain allergies. Somebody asked the question and they had, it wasn't an allergy to medicines, it was an allergy to specific foods, but really odd specific foods like red onions and some weird stuff. And the gist of it was all of the foods had in common some kind of element in them, and they take really bad with it and they have to be very careful with medication. But there's no information. There is literally no information. So I don't know how on earth you are supposed to look after yourself. I mean, I said to Mike, knows my opinion on things medical. Night, Jonathan. Hello, Paul. And but do you know, sometimes this was my job. So for about 6 years, this was the kind of thing that I would hear. I mean, this one, as it happens, ended fairly well. I would approach a story like this. This is today on the news in the UK. I would approach a story like this, and it's not like, oh, isn't that sweet? He's all right. I would approach it with, what in God's name were the hospital thinking? A baby boy was born in a hotel car park after his parents were sent home from hospital in a blizzard. He was born inside an ambulance outside the Premier Inn in Grimsby. Grimsby, that's on for reference, the northeast coast of the UK. After his parents decided to check into a hotel rather than make the 45-minute journey back home to Skegness. These place names are fabulous, aren't they, if you're not in the UK? They say they believe that their decision not to return home that night was critical to the safe arrival of their firstborn. So then it rabbits on a bit. Then it says, right, she attended the hospital on the 7th of February. She was having contractions. She was examined by nurses and a doctor and told she had a long way to go and to go home, returning only when she was in established labour. But her house was 45 minutes away in a blizzard. What in God's name? Anything could have happened. And clearly it did. But they say with the blizzard coming in, they decided that they'd attempt to get into a hotel. Now, the thing with the hotel is, it was the night staff that were on. So this was around midnight. And I'm like, this sounds like the biblical story, doesn't it? There's no room at the inn. There's no room at the hospital, despite the fact you are actually in labour and there's a blizzard outside. So they have to call. They couldn't get in the hotel. They had to ring them. Which goes through to a central number. They then end up talking to the guy on the other side of the door, who is the night staff. And he can literally see, he must have felt like the innkeeper. He can see she's pregnant and there's a blizzard. So he decides he'll let her in and give her a room no matter what, which they do. And 25 minutes later, they were told that the ambulance couldn't get to them because, you know, there's a blizzard. And they'd have to deliver by themselves, which they prepared to do, you know, hot water, towels, all of that. But luckily, the ambulance arrived just in time and little Charlie arrived in the ambulance in the car park. That's lovely, isn't it, when the hospital is 5 minutes up the road and they had turned up. This is why I don't like anything medical. There you go. What do we think of that? Would you be pleased with that? It didn't say that they then, you know how they do when that kind of thing happens? We'll take you to the hospital for a checkup. No, little Charlie and his parents went back into the hotel. And I'm not surprised. I don't think I'd want to be checked over after that either. It would have been slung out once. I think that's shocking. Absolutely shocking. Anything could have happened. Can you imagine? They'd have got on the road and they'd have been halfway home and Charlie decided to make an appearance and they're on the side of the road and no one can get to them. Utterly ridiculous. This is why I don't like anything medical. Good job Pete's not in, isn't it? Pete probably tell me there was something going on. Right. So imagine if they'd whipped you into theatre. If that's me with this x-ray thing, yeah. Idiots. It must have been something on the machine. I thought, what, like bubblegum that you've stuck on the back? Classic. Oh, Kim's working off the boot disk but can't eject the hard drive. Must be something going on there. Mummy's got a dentist stick. And what's Daddy got?
She's had a biscuit and parts of it to stick.
Come on, paw.
Good girl.
Oh, Daddy. Right, she's now got a dentist stick. So Kim's mum had nausea for a week. Now, it wasn't Pfizer, was it? No, baby Tracy had the other one. I don't think there's going to be much call between them for, like, one's fine and then the others aren't. They did ask Anthony if he'd ever had a severe allergy to a vaccine. Thing is, when you're a kid, how would you know unless your parents told you? Now, I'm assuming mine was on my notes. You know the dusty ones? I haven't seen the light of day since 1992. Those ones. No idea where they are. But it must be on there. It must be. So it wasn't really a vaccine in my case, but they gave me penicillin aged about 3 months, which was how come I ended up with the erythromycin. Because then they realised I was allergic to penicillin, so I got worse with the penicillin. It wasn't really an allergic reaction to a vaccine, though. It was a terrible reaction, hence the teeth, to something that they shouldn't have given a child under 12, basically. I don't know. I don't know where that would come in. Nor do I think the people who are doling out these things or filling, you know, the person that comes up to you with a clipboard and fill this in, I don't think they would know either. That's what worries me. It's usually disc utility and you should be able to do it from there. Everything apart from internal drives has an eject button in the disc utility. The other way to do it, there is a command, a terminal command. Now, obviously, be careful in the terminal, but possibly you could try it from there. Let's see. Okay. What has that got to say about that? There we go. You could attempt a force eject, whether that's wise or not, another business. But if it's booting from the external, then maybe you'd be okay. That's a bit to read about it. You can force eject with right clicking, can't you? Let me get to find a window up. Mind you, not if it's the boot drive. But if it's not the boot drive, if it can't eject, doesn't it prompt you to force eject? That's what it does with me. And then sometimes it says, you know, you've got files open on this drive. And I know full well I have not. I completely have not. Now, what else? What have we been doing today, Mike? You were training, weren't you?
I was training.
What were you training?
Nucleus.
Your favourite. Yes, but Nucleus is powering AstraZeneca and AstraZeneca's producing vaccine. So it's very important, even if you loathe it. Look at his face.
Whatever.
Was that all you trained today?
No, I trained this morning.
Ah, but what? Not Excel. Nucleus again. Oh, you see, now what you should have done was train Nucleus first and then you would have had Excel to look forward to.
Yeah.
That would have worked. Mm.
Yeah.
I started scrapping with Notion again. Oh, yes, we've had more issues today. What I wanted to do before last week's session, which I had booked 4 hours for on Friday, longer than the actual show, for crying out loud, was to build the LMS so you could see it, see where we were going before we actually started building it. Obviously, I couldn't do that. But part of what I wanted to do was show that instead of building every page individually, so this is for the screenshots I've seen of Pete's, where in the sidebar he has his LMS for Affinity Photo and then Affinity Designer and Affinity Publisher, that bit, right? They're individual pages that you don't have to make them one at a time. If you make the first one, then making the rest's a doddle. So I create the first one. And I'm beavering away quite happily. And I've got the whole structure like mapped out, that the pages aren't there, but there's text there like a placeholder text. So I get the first one done. Right clicks it, says duplicate that. And it hung for about 10 minutes. And I thought something wrong with this. So I thought I'll try and duplicate the table. You know, we'll get granular. I'll do the table. Hung for another 10 minutes. I thought, what is going on now? It was working in terms of you could put new content in, but it wasn't letting me duplicate anything. So I do the Googles, I do the down detector, I do the Facebook group, and I do Twitter, because I signed up, if you remember, for status notifications, and I had not had a status notification. So get to Facebook and Twitter. Oh, Facebook and Twitter knew all about it. They were tearing them a new one. Eventually, they admitted there was a problem. And then we got that it's fixed, which is getting concerning, isn't it? I did find an article that I haven't managed to finish reading yet that tried to explain what happened on Friday. But in the meanwhile, every alternative that I thought of had an issue. So what I was saying to Mike was, right, so I've got a video there and I'm making notes on it, or I'm going through the process and I'm making notes on it so I know what my running order would be for Friday. And it wouldn't be the first time we put something in Notion and it's totally vanished, would it?
True.
Like Mike's description a couple of weeks ago. This is the text for the email. I gets in there, it's blank. I thought, I don't really want to tell him this, because when I do, he'll go mad. So I said, you know, did you put it there? And he said, yeah. I said, it's blank. So he went in, and I think he was thinking maybe on his system it wouldn't be, that it just hadn't written up to the cloud. No, it was blank. So he had to start again. So I thought, right, need somewhere to put notes local. Preferably shareable somehow in an emergency, but local would do. And then maybe write to a cloud some other way. Every single thing we thought of was like, no, because that's on another cloud. So Mike said, oh, you could use Ulysses for that. And then I said, yeah. And the data for that? Oh, yeah, that would be an iCloud. And he went, oh, yeah. There is very little stuff now that is not backed onto a cloud somewhere. Do you guys use anything local for notes? I mean, I went through a whole plethora of apps that could do it. I thought, you've got IA Writer. You would have any kind of markdown editor that would work on your Mac, because you could save it to a local file. You know, whereas there is an option to have it in the cloud, you could manually force it to put that file locally. Now, when I say local, I worked out of all the clouds that I'd got that Dropbox was probably the best one, because you can carry on working locally if Dropbox is down. So I was quite happy to have something on Dropbox. But when I thought of all these apps, they all have their data in a cloud somewhere. So I think, well, Ulysses has been rock solid. That was where I went wrong. So I went to Ulysses and I thought, right, type some. Yeah, that's okay. So then I went to the iPad and on my phone, and it didn't want to know. It was that bad on the phone. It just would not synchronize at all. It was trying, but it wasn't getting anywhere. I had to delete the app and start again, which meant I lost all the custom folders and I'd have to go back and add those manually. So not happy with that one. Rule that one out. We did think about OneNote, Anthony, and the reason that I got very uppity with OneNote was when it synchronized, it was fantastic, but it didn't like to synchronize often. It was like unionized. It was worse on the Mac than Windows. But when it wouldn't synchronize, there was no tools to force it on the Mac. So you ended up with notes that were on the Mac that then wouldn't be written back. And if you then went to that page on another device and changed anything, then you got like a sync conflict. So we kind of ruled that one out as well. Then I thought of Simple Note. But, you know, if you want that to synchronize, you're going to have to back end it onto something. Every single place I turned, it involved a cloud of some description. Until, and not one that I could configure if you're with me. Not one that I could say, well, we'll put it here and we'll have that duplicating and that way we won't lose anything. And then ultimately, you know, what I want to do with this content is paste it into Notion when Notion's in a good mood, but have this copy that I could go back to if it wasn't in a good mood. Where's the dog gone? I think Mike's disappeared with her. She was doing the heavy breathing behind me. Yes, I think she's outside with him. That was weird. Just disappeared. So I ended up using something that I have known about for over a year. Never had the need for because I've got Roam. But Roam itself, while it can do a local graph, like a database, it too is in the cloud. So Roam wasn't a viable alternative either, just in case that went down. So I definitely needed something local. So I came up with the idea of Obsidian. Does anybody use Obsidian? It's kind of a new kid on the block. Could it replace Evernote? Yeah, it probably could for some people. But basically, it's Markdown. It likes Markdown. But one of the huge benefits of it is it's completely free if you want to store your own data and you don't particularly want to synchronize it. Now, when I say synchronize, there are no mobile clients for it. Now, to me, that would be like, I'm amazed so many people are using it if there's no mobile client for it. But the beauty of it is, if you create your data source for Obsidian in Dropbox, it's just Markdown files in a folder. That's it. So what you can do on iOS is open up any text editor and edit the same content. You obviously don't get all of the extra snazzy features that you do in Obsidian, the Obsidian client on the desktop. But you can get to your data. You do not need to synchronize and piffle around. And the good news is the data is totally local. So that's what I've been doing since Friday, I think. So does anybody use Obsidian? Have you heard of Obsidian? Is it something you would like to know about, it being completely free, which makes it perfect for a backup? I certainly don't mind paying for software. You guys know that. But when it's like I'm putting this in place like a Band-Aid, then free is really, really nice. Really nice. It is better if you know Markdown, but you don't really need to know much about Markdown to actually be able to use it. And it's a bit touch wood. So far, so good. Disabling Spotlight. There was an app for that. It used to be fantastic. What was it called? That's going to annoy me. I remember writing to the developer and asking a question, and he was so fantastic. Sent me a free license. Spotless. Is Spotless still around? I don't particularly use it. But let's see if Spotless is still around. When did I have that one? Spotless version 3. Go on, what year was it? 2009. Oh, good grief. There is an app called Spotless, but you know what? I don't think it's the same app at all. And it's, well, if it is the same one, which I don't think it is, it says organise your files like magic. So no, it's not. What it does is it does what Hazel does. But Paul can tell us all about it because he's on setup. But that's not the app that I'm looking for. So I would say it's not there anymore. Or has that morphed into something else? Because it's from lightpillar.com and that does ring a bell. No, Fixer Mac software. Fixamax, it was called. So I would suspect that that is no longer with us. Oh, hang on, what's that? Believe it or not, it's still there. But I don't think it'll work anymore. Not from 2009. Right, let's get into the system preferences and go to Spotlight. Right. No, I never fiddle in here. But in here, you can add on the privacy tab. Can you add a whole drive? Let's choose a drive. Yep, you can. So that bit should be fairly straightforward if this bit works. One way to do it is in your system preferences, go to Spotlight and you will have two tabs within there. The first one is your search results. So when you do a search with Alfred or Spotlight, anything that's got a tick in the box will be searched to give you the results. Some people choose to take things off there. So, for instance, like mail and messages, I wouldn't need, and I certainly wouldn't need music. I'm not that particular about Spotlight suggestions either. So you can take the ticks out of the box, but when you look at what's in there, they are like either something like a folder, or there's something that is data inside an app, like events and reminders would be in your calendar, and your mail messages would be in mail, and so forth. The second tab is privacy. I have no idea why it does this, but my ITV app installs itself in there. So that's the only one that I've got in there. But if you have a drive that you do not want results from, now why might you do that? Well, if you've got a clone drive installed on your machine, that's a backup of something and it runs overnight, but you don't eject it, then you don't want results from there. So if you click the plus at the bottom and then choose a drive that you don't want indexed, you can take that away from the search results in there. Another way to do that, but this would depend on if you were using an application, would be HowderSpot enables you to either, well, at the default level, remove a drive from the results, or on an individual level on save templates. But at global level, try the privacy tab. Not had toast for years, Paul. Not just the bread version either. Used to love that. Would have been better if it could give you like really customizable interfaces on DVD, CDs and DVDs. Not actually installed it for ages. It's amazing how Apple said, like, you don't need a DVD. And I thought, don't be utterly ridiculous. I was waiting for years for Blu-ray to be added. That would have been stunning. No, you don't need one at all. We should know from by Apple from now. By now, we should know them, shouldn't we? And I thought, well, I'm always going to need a CD. Don't be ridiculous. You know, backing up to DVDs and stuff. And you know, I don't. I have got on a shelf behind me about 700 DVDs, blank ones. Honestly, I haven't bought any for years and years. But they used to be, when we first started going to the local computer fair, they were about £1 each for a CD. Then DVDs came out and they went down to about £1 each. But if you can imagine, you're looking at like 10 DVDs is going to cost you £10. By the time we, well, by the time the, I think the computer fairs still go on, but we don't go anymore because you can get the stuff from Amazon now. They were selling them on a spindle of 100 for about £17. So they were like 17 pence each. So it was like, I'll just buy another 100. I'll just take some more for some backups. So I have plenty. But I don't really burn them anymore. So toast is a dim memory. Have they improved it? They do give you a lot of apps with it. And one of the ones they gave you with it was that indexing app. And that was amazing. Still use that. Disk Catalog Maker. So I'm glad I've still got that one. I got an upgrade from the license, the toast license. So that was really worthwhile. But I really don't burn that many DVDs anymore. I probably should use them for archive pull, but I do have two Blu-ray burners and a range of Blu-rays. And given that that's like 25 gig, that's a little bit better for some of the files I've got. But yeah, I probably, if I wanted to do it, the machine that used to sit behind me, which was Boomerang, where the hard drive died, and I'm doing a Kim, and it's running external off an external drive. That actually has a built-in one. And I do have one Apple DVD recorder, which was, no, I did not pay £70 for that either. That was the one that came back with the machine that needed to be replaced when they ruined it. So I do have one of those. So I could actually burn a disc if I needed to. But it's one of those things, it's not set up. It's not like I can just put a disc in and whoa, I can burn. No, I'd have to seriously think about that. I agree with you, Paul. Sometimes they don't even last like a year or 18 months. There's really not much you can do, is there? I mean, apart from buying more hard drives. And even they, you know, they're going to need to be mounted every now and then. And there really isn't much you can do. Unlimited cloud storage would be amazing. And that's what Microsoft promised and then took back from us. Darn it. That would have been good. I was gearing up to put all of my sort of backup data onto OneDrive. And then they changed their mind. Now, that was people who were trying to run businesses on it for free, which was ridiculous. I wouldn't mind paying a certain amount. Why they didn't put a peppercorn on that, I don't know. I would have paid, you know, a little bit extra for more storage if it was unlimited storage. I guess the only way to do that is S3 and Glacier. That's probably the most cost-effective way. Should I be using the fan when my iMac's on now? You should be okay now, Kim, unless you're doing something stressful. Hello, Simon. How are you doing? First in. Well, if you've gone back to the top, Simon, you will doubtless notice young Jonathan, fourth. I think that's his worst performance ever. In his defence, he's got his mind on his jab tomorrow. He's in with it with his jab tomorrow, 10:10. Yeah. We're all sending positive thoughts to young Jonathan at 10:10. Hello, where have you been now?
In the garden again.
Where are you getting all your energy from, girl? Your poor elderly parents haven't got that much. Your window's just crashed. Were you cursing it? Were you cursing it, Simon? Temperature-wise, an SSD, not burning hot, but I'd say warm. I must admit, last night I left mine backing up, sat on top of some papers, which probably wasn't the wisest thing I've ever done. I wouldn't say it's burning hot at all. Warmish when it's in use. And then if it's not, it's virtually freezing, virtually cold. Mine is cold right now, but I'm not actually doing anything with it. Possibly put it... I would make sure wherever it is that it's got air going around it. Ooh, Simon, I'm loving that idea. Is Johnny going to do a COVID jab unboxing video live? Oh, and Mrs. Paul has had a jab as well. Achy on Saturday, and that was all. So it seemed the range seems to be from absolutely nothing to being like ill for over a week. And, you know, you wouldn't know, would you, which way it was going to take you. Which is worrying on the, you know, you're going to be ill for a week end, or even worse. I mean, there are people that have ended up in hospital with it. Like the one with the foot, where the feet went purple. That one scares me. That one does scare me. But you wouldn't know. But there again, having COVID's no walk in the park either. So there's one thing I wish I knew from all this. Just one. When December 2019, so from April 2019 to April 2020, that was Mike's presidential year. So we were all over the place, run down, we were exhausted, doing everything. And at the Christmas, obviously there's loads of things going on at the church at Christmas. And we were both welcomers, which means you're handing out the hymn books at the door. And everybody who walks into the church is walking past you and saying good morning to you. We also did the Eucharist. And obviously you're handling the bread and you are handling the wine. And you are getting up close and personal with people. Then, of course, every week there's the peace be with you and you're shaking hands with everybody. It's honestly, it's a hotbed for spreading germs. So between Christmas and New Year, I got ill. And so did Mike. And it was the weirdest illness I'd ever had. It felt like a cold. And I thought, oh, brilliant. You know, got a cold. Must have caught it at the church. And it was this hideous cough. Couldn't lie down and sleep. No chance. But the cough was the main thing. And this was way before COVID had been mentioned. And it went on for about four or five days, would you say?
Yeah.
And it was really bad. I sounded like I had kennel cough. And I'm literally saying to Mike, I'm going to look up that medication I gave the dog for kennel cough and try that. Which I think I did, actually. But I was waiting for this to turn into the typical cold or flu, where you got, like, the runny nose, blocked nose, and eventually you got better. And then the next day I woke up and the cough had just gone, and that was it. And I said to Mike, that has never, ever happened before. If you've got a sore throat and a cough as bad as that was, it does not just disappear. It takes the full range and the length of time it takes. And sometimes with me, if I get a really bad cold, it can take like 5 or 6 weeks before you feel like human again. This just disappeared. So we went to church that week, and we were sat behind this couple, and I mentioned this weird cough thing that disappeared. And they said, we had that, and it didn't turn into anything. It was bizarre. And it turns out half the church had had it, and I would love to know if that was COVID. But obviously, it's that long ago now, you're not going to have any antibodies, I wouldn't have thought. But I would love to have known if that was COVID. And when you think, like, well, it's a bit early for that, December. You know, there were people that it turned out later had been abroad on a skiing holiday, who'd come back, whose family were in the church. And, you know, they'd been to church, you'd given them the host and so forth. So it could well have been skiing in Italy, I think it was. But I would love to know. I really would love to know that. Pretty much fits the profile of COVID itself. You don't know how you're going to react. Exactly, Simon. Some people, apparently, that, you know, they've literally said, haven't they? Some people have no symptoms. I would have thought the majority of people, certainly the ones who've been tested, they would want the test because they think they've got COVID. So I would have thought most people had some kind of idea. They could be over-egging that people get it and they have no symptoms. I don't know. The second one is supposed to be worse. You're already primed to react to it. That's not good news for the ones who reacted to the first one, is it, Simon? If you were really bad, particularly as you're giving it to older people. Kim's local paper did an article about why Washington State had such a bad rollout. One reason they forgot to tell the hospitals they'd be giving the shots. Elaine and Mike, super spreaders. No, I don't go near any people, Kim. It just made me wonder. It really did make me wonder that. And the longer it goes on, you know. Yes, I know. Stop headbutting me. The longer it goes on and you know, you hear these tales, you think, well, would I actually need it? And if you've had it and then you get the jab, does that make the first jab worse? Is that why some people are reacting more? Oh, I don't know. I give up. I give up with it all. I'm also thinking about the fact that AstraZeneca are making a new vaccine for the autumn. Like I said before, are we supposed to take all of them or what? Some people waiting. I honestly don't know. But apparently this stage of the rollout's going to be make or break, shall we say. Do you remember an app, we're just talking about it, that controlled Spotlight called Spotless? 2009 it was. No, not a clue of you. Look at his little face. Not a clue. Not a clue. What are you doing, madam? Do you think she's super starving or just giddy? What have you got now?
A text from PayPal.
Oh.
Saying they're limiting at my account.
Why?
I don't know.
You best sort that out.
I don't know if it's genuine.
Do you want me to tell you if I've had one?
Safety concerns. Go to PayPal login 964 before we're forced to suspend services.
That sounds a little bit
sounds
dodgy.
Sounds a bit dodgy to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that one. Would not worry about that one.
Best not tap the link.
No, leave the link alone, Mike.
Let's
walk
go
away.
Straight to PayPal and see.
PayPal would be telling you that. They would. No, you'll be fine. So, more on COVID. Oh, Boris did a press conference today. Yeah, this was because I wonder if he'd have rocked up if he missed his target. But the thing was, he met his target, this 15 million. So maybe it's that. He turned up to collect all the glory. Oh, Simon's in. Yesterday, Simon, we were discussing the 60 MPs, the 60 Tory MPs, who want no restrictions by May. And I said I'd love to hear how Simon would describe them. What is the collective noun for a collection of 60 stupid Tory MPs? Is there such a thing as an idiocy of MPs? Because it's a parliament of owls, which makes them sound like they know what they're talking about. But I'd love to know, Simon. Let me know. I'm plotting and planning for the weekend as well, for Friday night, aren't I?
Yeah.
And the weekend, and see how it all goes. Can't believe it's the middle of February.
Oh, Sarah already keeps getting those. Well, I've logged in, Sarah, and there's nothing in the message centre.
They're lying to you, Mike.
Yeah, it's not.
Don't click the link. I'm getting inundated with spam at the moment.
Like, don't touch the horn.
Or is it just me? Honestly, I have got that much spam, and you know, Google's usually really good with it, but I can get like 50 in a day. And the last, say, like 3 weeks ago, you might get two, but it's just gone a boggle of MPs. I wonder if Simon would come up. Oh, a Muppet Show of MPs. I'm liking that one as well. These are all great. Is it not a bongo of MPs, Simon? It's cruel to the Muppet Show, that, you know. It really is, because, I mean, I know we call people Muppets, but it's really cruel, actually, isn't it? Because Muppet, I'd much rather have Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy running the country. I would. Oh, some of the spam is really convincing. You're not kidding. One was supposed to be for the NHS for your jab. Wow. No, that's why I don't have, I mean, you mentioned the DVLA reminder, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's for your car tax. So they may send you a mail and then the tax might have it. The Inland Revenue come customs and excise. You know, if you get a mail and it looked really genuine and you know they've got your email address, then you've got to go and do something about it. If I get one and it says it's the tax service, it's customs and excise, it's whoever, my doctor. No, it's not, because you don't have my email address, which makes it a lot easier. Obviously, it gets tricky when you've got to do things online now because you can't get to a post office, but I wouldn't change it. I just don't want them to have it because it means more bandwidth from me. I think there's only one that does, and I never use that email address. So what I did was I set up a totally separate email address that nobody uses. So if I get anything to that, I would only have like one department to look at and think, is that genuine or not? But that you're right, some of them are so amazing.
I'm getting a shed load of dear beneficiary ones.
I'm getting a lot that are saying, you know, just click here to collect your winnings kind of thing. You've won something. And when I say something, I don't mean like, you know, a cracker. It's like you've won £57 million. Yeah. No, I didn't buy a ticket, so no, I didn't. But there's a heck of a lot of them, isn't there? Mm. You always check the email address it's been sent from. I think lots of people know to do that when your parents get one. They're quite anxious about it. That's how the Catanians are. I mean, if I hear once more, I've had my email hacked. I thought if you'd had your email hacked, you would know about it. When I say hacked, they mean someone's spoofing their email address. It's not hacked as in, you know, all your credit card details have vanished and all of that. But they hyperventilate, don't they?
Mm.
And to me, it's just like, well, it would never have happened if you'd have had a secure password. And some of them, of course, are still with Hotmail or Yahoo. I mean, Yahoo is just... I've got a friend who's been with Yahoo, must be nearly 20 years now. And I constantly get mails from her. And they do look genuine. You know, everything looks like it's come from her. But it's not. And I think, isn't it about time you change your email address from Yahoo? Ooh, latest. Right. A new study shows trickle-down tax cuts don't work. All the money seems to trickle straight into accounts in the Cayman Islands. It's been happening for a while, that, Simon, hasn't it? Trickle-down tax cuts. I've never heard anything so ridiculous. They've had their credit card data stolen a few times. Well, the last one that we had that was where, well, not us, it was a friend. And I'm saying, like, how did that happen? And then when you hear the full story, it was like just fortuitous for the crooks. They'd bought something. What are you doing? Eh? They'd bought something from Amazon, hadn't they, and then arranged a return. Then in the afternoon, like 4 hours later, they got an email, and no, a phone call, that was about their Amazon account. And they didn't say like, oh, is it this return or whatever. They were done off that. They wanted some, was it the credit card or bank details, wasn't it?
I think so.
And they gave them to them. I'd be like, well, I mean, for a start, it was a phone call. They haven't got my phone number either. But if it's a phone call and they're ringing you, you don't know that that is Amazon. And if they ask you for your bank details to give you this refund, wouldn't they already have that? Because you must have a credit card on file and they credit it back to your credit card. How much did they lose in them? Was it a couple of hundred quid?
Something like that.
I mean, it was, you know, not where you lose your house, but, you know, a naughty amount to lose. Not good. Sarah's still got a Hotmail address since Hotmail started. I think I have got one somewhere, but I don't use it anymore. It just seems to be that it's easy to target Yahoo and Hotmail. I mean, Hotmail's now... Oh, what is it now? People still use Hotmail. I thought they changed the domain.
Outlook.com. People still got one.
But, you know, if you've been using it for a while, then you're going to stick with it. But it's easy to try and hack people because you know that it's at Hotmail.com. So all they do is randomly try names before at Hotmail.com. But Yahoo's the worst. Yahoo is a nightmare. Don't know how people cope with that. Anthony thinks he's got a Yahoo address. You don't use it either. I do, but only to log in to Yahoo, which I don't think I've done in the last 5 years because, you know, why? Why? Oh. Kim, separated at birth again. You call me, I won't even give you my name. No, because there are things they should tell you. I love it when the bank actually do ring you on the odd occasion. Now, it's not me, it's Mike. And then want him to prove who he is. But you've just rung the number on the account. Mike should be saying, you tell me X. You know, you give me my postcode or something. Paul replaced Hotmail with CompuServe. Paul, do you remember that? You have new mail! And you were so excited.
That's what we started with.
We started with CompuServe, went on to AOL, and then went to Demon. And from Demon, we went to Be There. And from Be There, we went to Virgin. I did a speed test today because I was checking whether it was me with an ocean thing. Mm. Got the highest speed ever.
Oh, cool.
Which I was like, whoa, what's gone on there? Because it was a busy time of day as well. I'll be checking it overnight. Paul's been thinking about Bob Builder. Bob Builder. I thought you meant Bob the Builder.
Can he fix it?
Can he fix it? Yes, we can. Oh, Anthony had a phone call from Virgin Media before Christmas and asked if you were the owner of the account. I asked them what name the account was in and they hung up and never rang back. Well, they wouldn't be ringing me, would they? They'd be ringing Mike. Oh, why did the speed test make you sad, Kim? Mine actually pushed over. Let me see. Shall I do it again? I've got that much open here, it's a wonder it would run at all. But let's try again.
Stop it.
Right, let's go that. We want to be rid of that. And we'll test it with Virgin Media in Manchester. What was strange was the ping was 12. And for the ping to be 12, I mean, sometimes the ping is 6, which means, you know, you'd expect it to be faster if the ping is 6. It's fairly stable at the moment, but before it was touching over. So we are 980 at the moment.
Right there.
With an up of 50. Oh, you big soft girl. Oh, that means photos. Photos with all your bits on show with Daddy holding you. Have to get back that. Look at that. She's actually looking at the screen.
Just want to say hello.
Little madam. No, I don't want to say hello, Daddy. You've got all my bits on show. Oh, she does look so ever so cute, though. Oh, look at that. She's moving. All the photos are blurred, unsurprisingly. I've got about three here. And there's one where a paw's just out like that. Oh, dear, dear me. Oh, was that an email you got?
No, it was a text message.
I've got a text message.
From PayPal?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's a bull-faced lie because they haven't got my phone number. Now you see, I can just delete it because I know they've not got my phone number. I thought it was an email.
I could block them.
Oh, well, I'll block them as well. Exactly. Oh, Kim Speed is so low. Oh, no. God, she said Lola's bits. Oh, no. Mike's bits are hidden by Lola. Oh, she's so cute. She's frisky today. She's frisky today and wants to play.
Can you block text messages?
You can block a number. Just, you've done that before.
Uh-huh.
Yes, just block the number, Mike. It won't happen again. Leave them be. Where's the thing on here? Let's get the link to the image. Because normally it tells you... I love this bit. This is the best bit. On a speed test... it used to tell you where you were in terms of fastest in the country. So mine used to say you are in the top 2% speed-wise of the country. And they don't tell you that anymore. That's so annoying. Because that was the best bit. Blocking a number doesn't work. They just change the numbers. That's very true. I've got one and I can see the number and I've blocked the number. Many, many, many times. And they still send text messages. I really wish there was like a hard way to block a particular call. But it's always text messages and it's about a gym. I mean, there's no way. Is Stuart okay? I've not seen him for months. Yeah, I believe he's fine. He was at the cheese and wine party on Friday, which obviously we weren't. We were by request after hours. Ellen's always in on a Saturday, but I don't know what Stuart's up to. No idea. We'll have to have a word and ask him, won't we? Do you know, they were never at home. They are the kind of couple that I would think would be really badly hit by this. Because they were never at home. It didn't matter what day, time of the day or night it was. They had somewhere to be. You know, in an average week, they could go to about six Catinian dues, couldn't they? So it must be quite life-changing for them. And obviously with Ellen in the chair as well. She likes to get out and about. I remember the first lockdown and they'd not been anywhere. And Ellen decided by about, I think it was early May, maybe middle of May. She'd had enough and she said, take me for a drive. And he had to drive her around. And then the nail bars opened and Ellen always has her hair and nails done. So she was straight there.
The first in the queue.
The second they opened, she was banging on the door. I said to Mike, I would not be that desperate. But Ellen was. And Stuart had to drag her along there. So he had to sit outside and wait. Oh, there's some funny tales with Stuart. Because it was, you mentioned that the other day, wasn't it? Was it? It's 4 years this year, isn't it?
Mm.
It's 4 years in. She had a stroke the day after our Christmas party. And I'd spent the night before talking with her because Stuart hadn't turned up. He'd got a tooth abscess. And, you know, she was life and soul of the party. So I couldn't believe it when the news came through. And it really was touch and go for a long, long time, wasn't it?
Mm.
And they missed out on Alverstone, which is how come we went to Alverstone in 2019, wasn't it? Yeah. That was their year, 2019. And we loved it so much that we went there again that time. But yeah, that was very sad for Ellen, very sad. But, you know, she embraces it, doesn't she? She turned up to a Christmas do with the wheelchair decked out in fairy lights. It was amazing. It was fantastic. So they still do get out and about. I don't know why he's not in the chat on a Saturday, though. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? We'll have to ask, see where he is, get him to put some stuff in. Hang on, I'm going back up here. I'm back up. Tracy, a ping of 5, up 369 and down 363. Now, you see, I would love your up. Our up is 50 to 52. But the down, that's 980 at the moment. And it's pretty busy time right now. So 980 at the minute's not bad. I reckon it would be over the gig overnight when it's more quiet. Someone called and said they were your bank wanting to talk about a transaction. Could they take me through the security? And I said no. Eventually turns out it was your bank. Stupid they call and ask you that. That's what I mean, Simon. That is just totally idiotic. You should be able to give them a password. And if they ring you, you should be able to ask them for that password. Why can't they deploy that? Because they do it the other way around. That would be far more logical. The banks invented the stupid system, Simon. That's what happens. Anthony had a spate of foreign numbers, would ring once and hang up. Apparently the idea is to get you to ring back and it's a premium rate number. No, if you ring me and I don't know who you are, in fact, if you ring me and I know who you are, you'd be lucky to get a reply. Don't do the phone. Text me. Don't do the phone. Oh. Do you know I never got a spam fax? That's, mind you, it wasn't a proper fax machine. So at least I wouldn't be printing things out. I know people who did send like loads of blank pages to companies and you know, cost them money with it if they'd done something, which is a bit naughty. But mine was a digital one. Oh, the other thing she put on the chair, Kim, and you're saying it's sweet, the lights on the chair. Ellen does like a glass or so of wine. And obviously it's a bit tricky. She only has the use of one arm. So she can't do anything else if she's holding a glass of wine in it. Stuart found the most amazing device that clips onto the chair and holds the wine. Let's see if I can find it. It was actually made for a yacht. So it clips on. Why isn't it there? I put wine holder and it doesn't come up. I could try putting yacht with it, couldn't I? See if that comes up. No. Oh, no. I'll have to try and find it. But it clips onto the arm with like, it's like a plastic clip underneath it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And she can actually slip the wine glass into it and then wander around in the chair, but actually have the wine. It's amazing. The stuff is amazing. She surprised us once as well, didn't she? On President Sunday. Wonder what, should I put wine clip? Would that come up? No, I just can't find it. President Sunday, she decided she was going to walk down the aisle, which was the first time we'd seen her walk in about 2 years. And it took her a while and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Nina was next to me and she said, "Have you got any tissues?" Oh, that was a wonderful day, wasn't it, Mike? I know I will have to find that. I don't know what I would call it. Let's see if I put that in. That does any good. No, I'd have to try and find it. It's a weird thing. I don't know what you would put in to try and find it. But they actually started selling them on Amazon. They weren't cheap. They're about £40-odd. But genius device, genius. She can move around and not slosh it out. Yeah, because we were away at NID, which is in Leeds, near where Jonathan's family live. And unlike Alverston, where you rock up for your dinner and you stay there all night, the entertainment is in the same room. At NID Hall, it's not. And for her to get from where we were eating, which was a ludicrous place to put us, it was up three flights of stairs, for crying out loud. You know, you're looking at the booking, you're thinking, you've got somebody in a wheelchair. Yeah, I'll put them three flights of stairs up. That's genius, genius. So she had to leave early so Stuart could push her all the way around the downstairs dining room to get to the lift, which was at the far end of the building, to get up to the next level where the entertainment was. So he's pushing her. She's got her bag. He's got his stuff. She's got the wine glasses, because you obviously take the wine from your dinner. So that left the wine. So I said, I'll take the wine. Right, so everybody like pitches in and we've all got bits and pieces to carry for somebody. So I've got this bottle of wine. I'm trying to get up the stairs with my bag, my coat and this bottle of wine. And of course, these stairs are pretty steep. The wine was sloshing all over. There was some of it left in the bottle by the time we got there, but not much.
Isn't that all sweet?
Let me have a look. That is our suite, but yeah, with the table turned the other way.
Yeah.
It was the Cholmondeley Suite.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much the view, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I want to go back to Alverston. I do really enjoy Alverston. There is only one issue with Alverston. They don't take pets. Now, obviously, Lola is our daughter, but they don't see it that way because she's got four legs and fur. They need some severe education. I think they could make it because some of these rooms have like a patio outside. So they could make it that if you've got a dog, you use one of these patio based rooms. So you wouldn't have to walk the dog through the hotel. But they don't do that, full stop, which is weird when you see the hotels that do. We went out to this really posh place, cost an absolute fortune, in, oh, what was that place called? It was a McDo, I think. We got there late. Was it Nether Alderley Hall?
Oh, Alderley Edge Hotel.
No, that was in Alderley Edge. I'm talking about the one that's in the middle of nowhere.
Mottram Hall.
Is it Mottram Hall?
Is it Mottram Hall?
Well, it was one of these posh places in the middle of nowhere. And we get there and find out that people are out with dogs. I was in my element. We were only there for a meal one evening. But Stuart and Ella had decided to stay. And I don't think there was anybody from the Catanians with a dog. But there was plenty of people there with dogs. So I thought I'll just park myself in the foyer. And because there was this lounge you could go in and talk to the other ladies. Or I could sit out in the foyer and play with the dogs. Guess which one? So every time a dog went past, it was, "Hello, a lovely dog." One of them came out looking for me, but, you know, I just hid behind the pillar because I was having way more fun with the dogs, I can assure you. Oh, Simon says that's what he did. Got through, they said it was a department. You said put a note down to quote XXX and they did eventually. Wow. You should be training them, Simon. You should be training them.
Shrigley Hall.
Shrigley Hall, that's it. Pot Shrigley. In the middle of literally nowhere. You can get holders you can put round your neck and hold your wine glass. There was a meme going round on Facebook and I posted it onto Ellen. It was like a garden recliner with two barrels, one either side and two straws. And I said, this is what you need to get Stuart to get you. She loved it. And then when Nina saw it, she said, I need to tell Chidge to buy me one. Is this the glass holder? Let me have a look. It'll be on Amazon, but it's not coming up with what I'm typing in. No, not quite. But if you can imagine the bottom of it, that slots into a hole somewhere else, doesn't it? This thing, although that is on a yacht, that's a posh one. This thing looked like the bottom. So if you look at the where it says inserts, there's a Yeovil flat that's white. If you look at that, that's what the top of this thing looks like. But the underneath has like a strap that you can wrap round a chair, the arm of a chair. So literally, it's like a Velcro strap and it's on like a plinth. So that sits on top of it. You put the strap underneath and then the wine glass kind of slips in the side just like that white one, the flat white one. Very well found. Very well found. Not exactly like it, but very, very similar. It's obviously a thing, isn't it? If you are a person with a yacht. I'm liking the one round your neck. I'm going to have to suggest that, aren't I? Anyway, we have got to get off, haven't we?
We have.
Oh, we've got a date with the girl. Playtime with the girl. But we will be back tomorrow. We will see what Tuesday brings us. Hopefully Notion up for 24 hours. That would be good. Then I can get some work done and see how that goes. None of you mentioned that you used obsidian. So I'm assuming you've never even heard of obsidian. Might be worth showing what I'm doing with obsidian. Given that it's saving my bacon while Notion's not there. Because if Notion's not there and I don't have an alternative, I'm not a happy bunny. I have to resort to like a pen and a pad on the basis that at least I won't lose that. Unless the dog eats it, and she wouldn't dare. So, for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.